getting older and older, is how important it is for that younger generation to be raised up, to be strengthened, to be equipped to do the ministry. And I saw those young people engaged in being mentored and in doing the work, and it encouraged me. So we, as a church, need to continue to pray that God would raise up younger folks to carry on the work of the ministry. So thank you, guys. Let me just pray as we turn to Matthew chapter 5 and our topic for the day. Lord Jesus, thank you for these reports. You are alive and well on this planet and within us and within your church. You are fulfilling your promise to build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for showing up in the ways that you did. Thank you for the seeds that have been sown. We continue to pray that you would water and you would grow those. You're the one that makes these things increase. We do pray for the Tuttlebees and the Bundoran group of believers that are meeting, even right now, Lord, that you would bless their ministry and bless their being shining lights in that area of our precious Ireland. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your message. Help us to be hearers of your word and doers of your word. Might the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, talking about going, shining, lighting our fires. Besides the fact that we missed you guys over the 7 months, we came back and I was delighted to see our three lighthouses, the Sligo Black Rock, the Oyster Island, and the Metal Man. That's a wonderful thing of our Sligo. Hole number 12 at the golf course is called the Lighthouse, so I've enjoyed that as well. A factoid about Ireland, there's around 140 lighthouses around the circumference of the island. How important is a lighthouse? In this day and age, GPS is probably, it's less important, but what happens when that GPS goes down? Well, you still need a lighthouse. And we know that lighthouses are there to point the direction to safety, to guide folks and ships into the harbor safely. You know, Scripture calls us to be lighthouses. Historically, we know Patrick also did something phenomenal as our premier fearless missionary who preached the gospel to the Celts. On Easter Sunday, he lit the fire, the Paschal fire, on the hill of Slane in opposition to the High King who was lighting the fire on the hill of Tara, in direct defiance to that. And he was setting a fire of the light of the gospel, and the gospel broke forth. The king got upset. Historically, it sounds like his son actually became a follower of Christ. We know that Patrick's planted 300 churches here. He had a tremendous impact on men and women here in Ireland. But it was all because he maybe took those words of Jesus literally, and he became a light. And God did a phenomenal thing as he risked being a light in a dark place. Friends, I'm intrigued and challenged by Jesus' words. You are the light of the world. Light your fires. Let them shine brightly and boldly so that your Father in heaven is glorified. Go, shine, and never stop. So we want to think about that. Some missiologists are saying Europe is no longer post-Christian, it's pre-revival. Is that an interesting statement? It's pre-revival because of the diaspora. All of the different people moving into Europe is making a difference on the face of Christianity here. They're saying because of these church planting movements that are happening throughout Europe, Manor Hamilton, Bundoran, there's a positive impact for the gospel. And also among the young people, They're noticing that there's an interest among young people for spiritual things again. May he be true in his assessing that Europe is no longer post-Christian, but maybe pre-revival. We long for that, don't we? We pray for that. So let's talk about starting a fire. When was the last time you started a good old-fashioned fire? I was thinking about that this morning. I think us here in Ireland, we have a foot up on the rest of the world, because what is more comforting than going home and having a fire and having a cuppa? You guys know how to start those fires. We were with all of our grandchildren, and they have an unusual, unsafe curiosity with fires, and they were starting fires out in the desert. And how about you? How's your fire starting skills? You know, when we talk about fire, it gives warmth. It gives light, doesn't it? When we read Scripture, we cannot not read the Scriptures and not bump up into the subject of light. Light was the first thing that God created after the heavens and the earth. God also made the individual lights, such as sun, moon, and the stars. Light symbolizes the blessing of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. We jump into the New Testament. We see a reoccurring theme there that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world. John chapter 9, I am the light of the world. All of us have been given this wonderful thing of light and understanding it. You know, and our manner of life as fully devoted followers of Jesus reaches its high point in this statement when Jesus said to us, you are the light of the world. We're not the world's light. Only Jesus is that light, right? But we are to point to that light. And our function as redeemed people is to live as redeemed people. We are to let our light shine in such a way that the world sees our Heavenly Father, sees those good deeds, and glorifies our Father who is in heaven. I think a wonderful illustration of who we are as believers is, go back to London in the days when they had to light the lamps, and the lamplighter would climb up on the ladder and extend his lighter to light the lamp, and the light would go on at dusk, and pretty soon down that whole lane, the whole lane was lit up with lights. I think that's a wonderful illustration for us as believers. Obviously, that light is the light of Jesus, the light of the gospel. The lamp that has not yet been lit is the souls of men and women, boys and girls that have yet to receive and understand the gospel. That fire stick is the vehicle in which that delivery is made. And the result is that lighting of fire that lights up the world. What a beautiful illustration for us as fully devoted followers who are obeying the command to go and make disciples. I guess the question we need to pose for ourselves is, how am I doing in that area? Is my light bright and clean and pure? Am I penetrating through and eliminating darkness, the darkness that is around me? Is my light helping others have a greater vision and knowledge of God? Is it a guiding kind of a light? Is it overpowering the chaos of a defeated world? Does my light protect others from stumbling, falling, and injuring themselves? Or are we like many believers who don't shine, who have put their lights under a bushel, as Jesus says, and their light has gone out, who are afraid to show that they are believers in Jesus and to talk about Jesus? You know, a businessman asked his friend, how long have we been friends? And the friend says, 15 years. Would you consider us good friends? Yeah, I would consider us good friends. And is it true that you believe that a person can't go to heaven? A person goes to heaven or hell in understanding and believing who Jesus is or isn't? Yeah, I totally believe that. Well, do you really care for me? Well, what do you mean? Certainly I do care for you. Well, how come? Please tell me. I dare say that you do, that over this 15 years of our relationship, you haven't once told me about this Savior. I know all about your family. I know all about your love for golf and your red Harley Davidson and what you do at work, but you haven't told me about the Savior. Friends, how can we believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation and not tell our friends, our family members about him? We can't. We can't, as believers, love people and not share with them the gospel. It's just impossible, isn't it? So why does it matter if you and I light our fires or not? Well, just three reasons from these three verses out of Matthew chapter 5. Why is it important? Because one, the world needs the gospel, doesn't it? Two, because Jesus wants us to share and be lights in the world. And three, God is glorified when we do. The world needs the gospel. It needs that light. Jesus wants us to do that. We want to please him. And God is honored and glorified when we do. Pretty simple, powerful stuff. So friends, when we read scripture, transformation of the heart is what is expected. It's front and center, isn't it? And Jesus, the revolutionary, he wants to cause a revolution in our hearts, doesn't he? That's why he preached this greatest sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's why he spells out for us in no uncertain terms, hey, how we as citizens of an unseen kingdom and an unseen king should live and act and look like. I believe that sermon that he preached 2,000 years ago is as relevant and important as it is then, as it is today, and necessary. It gives us clues on the best method of sharing our living Savior with our friends and our family members. How's that, Kirk? Many people in the world are looking for this light. They just don't know it. They need to see believers. And when we're reflecting and living as believers, then those that are hungering and thirsting are drawn to that light, to Jesus as the hope of the world. So as we recall, we went through the Beatitudes just a little while back. It distinguishes Christians from non-believers, doesn't it? As Christians, we're impressed with living godly, living humbly, living purely, living kindly, living with forgiveness. And the world is not so necessarily impressed with that. Jesus began his sermon, repent, and began his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, he went throughout Galilee preaching and teaching in the synagogues the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. And news about him spread around. And he was telling the people and answering the question, how do we qualify for the kingdom? How do we live for the kingdom? And Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God, it doesn't seek riches, it doesn't seek power, it doesn't seek authority. Those things aren't important. We seek something different. There's a huge contrast between his world and this kingdom. And Jesus is encouraging us to put on humility and godliness and kindness and purity and compassion and holiness and forgiveness, isn't he? But then in verses 14, 15, and 16, he makes a comprehensive statement about the necessity of living out this life that reflects the good news of the kingdom. This is the very essence of discipleship. And in the original language, the emphasis is on you yourselves. He's saying you ourselves to be salt and to be light. There's an emphasis there. That's the maxim, to be salt and light in this world. And then he gives considerable words to filling out the details of that in the sermon. But in verse 14, we read, you, Jesus pronounces, are the light of the world. Here we see that we are God's point people in the world, right? And it is God who is and gives us this light. Scripture is filled with that. And Jesus shines through us as vessels for him. But the imperative and the subject of the entire sermon is in belonging to the kingdom requires, yes, it demands that we reflect the light of the kingdom through our good deeds. So we are the light, and we're to let our light shine. So how do we do that? And then a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, nor do a people light a lamp and then put it under a basket or on a stand. They don't light their small terracotta lamp and put it under a bushel to be hidden. They put it on a stand so it can be seen, so it can be effective in the world. So we need to be in the world for the world, shining for the world. And then verse 16, what's the result? It gives light to the whole house. And here's the mandate. Jesus is saying, in the same way, let your light shine before others. We, as Jesus' disciples, are to live in the world so that the world will see Jesus and be moved to honor and glorify him and imitate him. So friends, we are on display. Jesus is putting us on display in the world. So let our light shine, to live in such a way that we manifest those good deeds so Jesus and God are glorified. So why does it matter? Well, the first reason, our friends, our family members, our neighbors, they need us to. The world is dark. Scripture says that the world is walking around in darkness. It stumbles without light. They have no clue where they're going. Darkness overtakes them. They're blinded by Satan so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. The world loves this darkness. I think if we would just take a moment, I think we'd all agree that the world is in darkness. It needs light. And the reality of that is becoming more and more obvious to us. The world needs salt. It needs light. It needs light because it's dark. It needs salt because it is corrupt. And because the world is corrupt and decaying, we need to obey what Jesus has asked us to do. The world needs Jesus, the light of the world. They need the lighthouse. They need us to be the lighthouse in a huge way. Again, it should be said that Jesus is the light. He is my light. He is their light. He lights them up over and over again in the Gospels. We see this idea of Jesus' light of revelation to the world in John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then jumping to John chapter 12, 36 and 46, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Verse 46 of John chapter 12, I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. The world needs Jesus, the light of the world. And the fact is that that light is shining in darkness, overcoming it. And Jesus has come into the world that we might have life. And God is that light. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus says in John chapter 9. So over and over again, it is important that we understand that the world needs Jesus because of darkness. Hate is a strong word, isn't it? My mom and dad told me, Kirk, hardly ever use that word. It's a loaded word. I would think we could say this about cancer. I hate cancer. Took our sweet Marcella. We celebrated or were reminded of our two-year-old Oakley yesterday, 5 years. As of yesterday, she passed away with her battle of leukemia, cancer, an 88-day battle. Let's say that we have friends coming, as many of them did, to the hospital room where Oakley were, and they would care for the family, they would care for Oakley, they would wipe her brow from the sweat, they would give her a little sponge to wet her mouth, caring for her and watching over her. Let's suppose that one of those visiting had a cure, the single cure for cancer. But in spite of that, they kept coming, showing compassion, being kind, being present, but yet all the while holding back that solution. We would say that's not very kind. That is rather mean. That is not how it should be. I think we can make the analogy to our faith. If we believe folks are separated eternally from life eternal and God Himself, they don't know the Savior, and we don't share with them, we're much like that person, aren't we? We need to be different. Unfortunately, there are many believers throughout the world that hold on to that don't say anything. Is this true love? I wonder. Friends, we're called to bring the light of Jesus, the true life, the eternal light, to folks all around us. Why? Because if we don't, and if we aren't, somebody else is, right? I was driving through Sligo yesterday, and the Jehovah's Witness had their stand up. They're more than happy. Our citizens of the Mormon faith are happy to do so. If we don't, they're more than happy to do that, and they are. We need to be active, don't we? So why does it matter if we light our lights or not? Simply because our families, our friends, our neighbors, they need it. And Jesus wants us to. He lit us up to light others up, didn't he? 2 Corinthians says this, verse 5 and following, for Paul writes to the Corinthian church, for what we preached is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Let your light shine. Let your fire shine. Do a Patrick. Do a Paul. Do an early church. Do a Charlie. There are lots of stars in the world, aren't there? There are film stars, TV stars, music stars. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Film stars, movie stars, Taylor Swift kind of stars, eventually they won't be stars any longer, but there are stars that will last on into eternity, like Charlie, who was just a layperson. And every year he set a goal to share his faith with people. He asked the Lord, Lord, might there be 50 people that come to Christ this year? By God's grace, he saw that happen. The next year, 100. The next year, 150. One year, 100 or 1,500. And then the last year of his life, 2,200 people. He would go everywhere, share the good news with everyone. He was in prison 6 days a week, 3 hours a day. He couldn't share enough. And when he couldn't go anymore, he went in a wheelchair. His passion to see people come to Christ, an intimate knowledge of him, was his heart. He is a star that will shine forever. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever. How bright will we shine into eternity? It'll depend on how we shine here on the earth. Here's our chance to be a shining star. And then lastly, why is it so important that we light our fires? Well, the world needs it. Jesus wants us to, and God is honored and glorified when we do. I close by sharing a story of Alexander. Sleep didn't come easy to Alexander, for this was not his first military campaign. Far from it. He had conquered most of the known world by this point, but he wasn't finished, not yet, not until history would know him as the greatest of all. But on this night, sleep eluded him. He rose from his bed and ventured out of his tent, tired from the endless tossing and turning. He was exhausted. He couldn't sleep. His mind was racing. Then he noticed a boy, a guard, asleep while on duty. This guard, this boy, didn't barely move as Alexander came up to him. When he realized who it was, he leapt to his feet and realized what was happening. It wasn't unusual for guards who fell asleep on duty to be doused with kerosene and burned alive on the spot. Alexander fixed his gaze fiercely upon this frightened boy. He asked this young boy, "What's your name?" asked Alexander. The boy hesitated, frozen with fear. "Boy, what's your name? Answer me your name." "My name, sir, is Alexander," the boy replied. Alexander the second time said, "What's your name?" "It's Alexander, sir," the boy replied. Alexander never broke eye contact with this young man. "What is your name?" "Sir, my name is Alexander," he responded the third time, with tears welling up in his eyes. Alexander stared at the boy with a stiff look. "Soldier," Alexander directed, "either change your conduct or change your name." And with that, Alexander the Great left the boy at his post and continued on. We don't know what happened to the boy. We don't know what happened after that. We're not even really sure if that story is true. It certainly sounds good, doesn't it? But I think it illustrates the point. The point is, if we call ourselves a Christian, shouldn't we be Christ-like? Let's pray together. Father, thank you that Jesus came. He suffered so tremendously, a pain and suffering that we can't even begin to understand. But he did it out of obedience to you, out of love for you, out of love for us. And certainly the Christian life isn't to be sugar-coated. It cost our Savior his life. It costs us something, Lord. And we're here again before you, saying, Lord, have mercy on us. Please help us to honor and glorify you by reading your word, by understanding your word, and then by doing your word. So we need your Spirit, who is not a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We need the fruit of the Spirit to be manifest in us, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. We need to be wise as serpents and tender as doves. We need to be wise. Lord, we need so much if we are to carry out the mandate that you've given us to make disciples everywhere. And we want to do that. So Lord, help each one here to shine on into eternity. Help us to help others come to know you as Lord and Savior. As we shine, as we are salt in this world, we'll give you the thanks and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.